This is the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, episode 440.
You're listening to the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray. Tune in every week for practical advice that will help you build your online audience. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be sharing the steps that you need to take to have a successful and profitable launch of your online course or membership. So this episode is going to be useful for you if you are thinking about launching an online course or membership, or it's something that's on your ambition list for the coming year. It's also going to be useful if you have launched an online course or membership before, and perhaps you've been a bit disappointed with the results, like you haven't made as many sales as you were hoping for. So if you're a regular listener to the show, the format of this episode is going to be a little bit different than what you're used to. So it's not going to be me talking solo, and it's not going to be me interviewing a guest. It's actually a recording from my Build Your Online Audience program. So this is my signature program. I think it's the only online program in the world that is exclusively dedicated to helping you to build an online audience. And this is the very first class, or it's the first part of the very first class that I get everybody to take. And it's such an important one, because what it really does is it helps you to understand this whole concept of building an audience. And in it, I explain that you don't just need one audience, you actually need three. And if you're planning to launch an online course or membership, this will give you the direction that you need to understand how long that's going to take you, how long you need to plan. It's going to give you a much better idea of when you should be thinking about launching. Now, I do have lots of other podcast episodes, which I will share in the show notes, which are about launching. I've got one on the ultimate launch checklist. I've got lots of different episodes around developing online courses and memberships. But this is the one. Like, if you have ambitions to launch an online course or membership, if you've tried before and it didn't go as well as you hoped, this is the one. This is the one that you need to start with before you do anything. Okay. Now, I explained that this is the first part of the first lesson. So you get the first part. The bit that you don't get is you'll hear me talking about some templates. You'll hear me talking about some swipe files, and I'm guessing you'll probably want to get your hands on them, but that wouldn't really be fair because they were created specifically for members of my Build Your Online Audience program. But I think what I share with you will give you enough of an idea of what you need to do. But it wouldn't seem fair on my paying members to give those away free on the podcast. But if you listen to this episode and it clicks into place for you, this particular episode, as you'll hear, in itself has generated members like 42,000 in one famous case, but typically hundreds of pounds, thousands of pounds. But if something clicks into place when you listen to this, you want to get your hands on these swipe files and templates that I talk about at the end. If you want to come inside the Build Your Online Audience program and to really take the time that's needed to have this really successful launch, then I will put a link in the show notes. And you know, do email us if you've ever got any questions. Email me on janet@janetmurray.co.uk. This content that I'm going to share with you, I think it's potentially life or business changing. And I don't think I'm exaggerating there, because this is what the members tell me. It will challenge you. It might disappoint you. It might frustrate you. But crucially, it will give you what you need, as long as obviously you're prepared to do the work to make sure that you are able to launch a successful online course or membership further down the line. So I'm not going to say any more. I'm just going to take you straight into the episode, and I'll be back at the end just to sum up. But enjoy. So welcome to the Science of Audience Building. So if you are new to the program, this is the very first class that I would suggest that you watch. If you're not new to the program, then don't worry. I don't think we can ever go over this stuff enough times. I don't think we ever can get enough reminders of what I'm going to teach you in this class. Our classes generally, I always say they're about 90 minutes, but allow 2 hours. This one should be a little bit shorter if I've planned it correctly. So if you're new to the program, you know, do introduce yourself. I'm going to keep it really, really interactive and get you talking to me and doing activities and answering questions during the session. But this is really to set you up for the rest of the program. But it's great revision if you've already worked your way through the program as well.
So this is the science of audience building, known as the three audiences in the past. And this is the class that has helped some members of the community, in one case up to 42,000 from what I'm going to share with you in this particular class. Others, more modest, hundreds of pounds or thousands of pounds. But the stuff I'm going to share in here is really useful stuff that you can come back to again and again. Yeah, 42,000. In fact, it's more actually. She shared something else in the group today, which means it's actually more. So if you've worked with me before, you probably know the answer to this question, but what's the most unhelpful thing that you can say or think in a training situation? Let me know in the chat. So Nicola, it'd be good to know how much it's helped you to generate actually. Yeah, so this won't work for me. So I can guarantee at some point you'll think to yourself, this won't work for me because I have a product-based business. This won't work for me because I have a service-based business. My business is new. My business isn't like yours. I've got this kind of business. And you'll start to tell yourself a story how this stuff wouldn't work for you. As Paul says, I'm special. It won't work for me. This stuff works for everyone. Yes, you probably will have to adapt it. We have to adapt everything in our business, but this can all work for you. Whatever kind of business you've got, you might just need to tweak and adapt it. And that's what the group's for us to get in and talk about it. And what's the second most unhelpful thing that you can say, particularly if you're doing this as revision? I feel like I've said these things so many times before that people are kind of well-trained. Yeah, I already know this. Yes, we already know some of this stuff, but are we actually doing it? And that's the difference. Like, you can know something, but if you're not actually doing it, then you're not getting the results. So sometimes I think we just need to hear the same things over and over again. So if you're completely new to the program, like what I can promise you and what I can't. So what I can promise you is to give you all the tools that you need to build your online audience. I'll give you all the classes. I'll give you the resources. I'll give you the support in the community. What I can't do, the only bit I can't do for you is do the work. I just can't do that bit for you. So if you follow all of the resources, if you use them, then you will get results. Nicola's just shared that she's generated 15 to 20,000 from these resources, helped her fill her conference and courses, and her go-to, one of the three circles, which I'm going to show you in a minute, is one of her go-to. A lot of people have this printed out and they have it stuck up above their desk. And it's a lot of stuff that we know already, but it's just one of those really important things to remind ourselves of. So yeah, which of these two little questions to kick it off, which of these apply most closely to you at the moment? So A, I have enough clients or customers right now and for the next 12 months. B, I don't have enough customers or clients right now, or something else entirely, in which case tell me what it is. I would be very surprised if anyone says A. If you say A, I wouldn't have thought that you would be in the program. You should be teaching me. If you're in the program, and I would say, if you ask me that question, I would always say I don't have enough customers or clients, because we need to keep our funnel full. And as Nicola says, we're always happy to have more. And unless you can hand on heart say, I have enough clients, I'm sorted for the next 12 months at least, then I think you can't say, you know, I don't need to worry about this audience building thing. This stuff is really, really important. And Karen's saying, I have enough now, but I want to create new income streams. Well, that's still, you haven't got enough of the right kind of customers, which is probably how I should have phrased it. So do you have enough of the right people coming through? I don't think any of us could say that. Okay, so a little quiz to get you going. How likely would you be to buy one of these? I'm going to show you some images and let me know yes or no whether you think you might be tempted to buy one of these from a single social media post. So you see like one post on Facebook, one Instagram post, something like that, and you'll be tempted to buy one of these. So the first one is my Supercharge Your Instagram Engagement Playbook, which is $9.99. So yes or no, do you think you could be tempted to buy that just buying like seeing one post? Okay, so we've got no from Izzy, yes, no. So it's quite mixed, isn't it? I'd love you to tell me in the chat why, especially those of you who are saying no. I would love you to know. So Loredana is saying, because I know you. Deborah, if I didn't know the author, it could be a scam. I don't know you. Don't know what a playbook is. Yeah, credibility. I want to know who you are. Even to spend $9.99, you know, $9.99 for most of us, we're lucky enough that that isn't unaffordable for most of us, but we still want to know more for $9.99. Okay, so next one. Okay, this is something that I bought off the internet, an impulse buy. I think it was about £30. I couldn't even remember by the time it turned up, because I think it came from like China or something. For first of all, you might not even know what it is, but it is a ring light, and it's something that you can attach to your phone. It has got Mickey Mouse ears. It looks like Mickey Mouse. I bought it impulsively from a Facebook ad, and sits on the side of your desk, and you can kind of attach your phone to it. By the time it came, I didn't even know what it was. It was such a long time. So what do we reckon? I'm quite an impulsive person. So I saw it and thought, yeah, it sounds kind of, you know, like the kind of thing I need at the moment. But we've got a lot more no's at the £30 mark. We're getting a lot more no's. Wendy, yes. I think those of us who are more impulsive. The only other thing I've ever bought from one post was one of those flip belts for running that you can put your phone in. And it was because it was exactly the thing that I needed. It solved the exact problem that I had. But yeah, so we've got a bit of mix, but mainly nose. If you're a nose, why do you think you wouldn't buy this? So Loredana, I buy much more than I can consume. So any thoughts on if it's a no, why is it a no? They're not really showing what I can do. The ad was, you know, I got the gist of it from the ad, but I still couldn't remember what it was when it turned up. Okay, so I bought this at the weekend. I bought the Piano. Some of you might have seen it. If you get my daily email, I wrote about it over the weekend, I think. I do play the piano, but it's a membership for pianists. And the thing that really sold it to me was 500 songs in 5 days. I was like, whoa, that sounds really good. All of the lead sheets, the music, and for one incredible amount, actually, for $197. So Jodie would buy it for her daughter. So Paul doesn't know if it's the best. I'd like to research first. So some of you might be interested to know that I didn't buy this off an ad. The ads followed me around for about a week. But I, first of all, found Piano on YouTube. I was looking for the chords to play a song that I wanted to play. Found one of her videos, watched the video, liked the video, learned the song, and was like, right, that's good. I like her. I like her teaching style. Followed her on Instagram, went and watched a few more videos. Then Facebook started targeting me with Piano ads. So it didn't take me very long, but it was still about 20 to 25 exposures, I think, I had to them before I bought. It took about a week to convert me, but that was with them keep popping up on Facebook. I also shared, I don't know if anyone read this in my daily email, but this YouTube channel has been going for 11 years. So the first video for Piano was posted 11 years ago. It looks like they bought it from somebody else, but they've been posting regular videos on YouTube for 3 years. So they had a great, you know, great body of work. It wasn't just one video for me to watch. There was like loads of different videos for me to watch. So that was quite interesting. And then this is Osman, who's been running he's been doing the sessions in Office Hour in Build Your Online Audience for the whole of the month. He's been turning up every week and he's been running sessions for us. Now his program is 1500 plus VAT. If you just saw a Facebook ad or you saw, you know, a post on Instagram, like who would sign up for a coach 1500 quid? So we've got no, definitely not. Very emphatic. Okay, so what would you need to do to buy from Osman? He doesn't know we're talking about him here, but what would you need? You need to find out more. You need to know more about the coach. You need to get to know him, listen to his podcasts, reviews, testimonials, see how he teaches. And those of you who've been coming to the classes on a Monday, do you feel any more inclined to work with him having had four sessions with him? So it doesn't mean that you definitely would, but what I'm saying is, does that make you feel more inclined if you had the budget? Yeah, so Renu can still say, I'd still want to try something else first. More inclined if I was looking. Yeah, so it's really interesting, isn't it, all of this? So let's have a look at what that means. Quite interesting. So playbook, so it's quite likely a lot more of you said you would buy a playbook for $9.99 off of an ad. I buy loads of things I just see for $9.99 or whatever. If I'm interested in the subject, even if I don't know the person, if I'm interested in the subject and it looks good quality, I might buy it. But you need to sell 150 to match one place on Osman's coaching program. For a ring light, you know, some of you might go for it, but you'd need to sell 50 to match one place on a coaching program. An online course, a lot less likely. You need to do your research, but you'd still need to sell 9 in order to match the cost of like getting one person on a kind of high ticket coaching course. And most of you were like, no way would I buy off an ad. Like, no way would I do that. I'd need to get to know the person first. So it's really interesting to see all of your reactions. What's this bringing up for you now? What are you thinking about your own audience building? What does this tell us? So you've all talked about how you respond to other people's content. You've all talked about how much research you need to do, how much you need to know about somebody. And I know because we're all different people, it does differ. But what does this tell us about audience building? So Lindsay's saying how important it is to show up for your audience. What else is this showing us in terms of audience building? Kim says it's making her think she needs to talk more to the camera. It takes time. You need to be consistent. You need to build trust. You need to demonstrate value. You need to show up in different places. You need multiple interactions and price points. You need different price products, possibly. You need authority. You need impact, personality. You need to have some other info available. And Ali's saying, this is showing me I need to do more than I'm doing at the moment. And you've got to remember, as Nicola says, that people buy for different reasons. And so What does it tell you about the sort of time that you might need to build your audience? Well, Paul's just really nailed it here. It's a long game. Like, most people are not going to see one LinkedIn post or one Instagram post or even a couple or even 10 or 15 or 6 months of your posts and be ready to buy from you. They're going to need longer. And I would say, has anybody ever, I'm trying to think of the best way to ask this question, but have any of you had that experience where you've rocked up online and you've had this great product or service and you've done some posts about it and you've been really excited about it and then nobody's bought? Has anybody had that? I've certainly had it when I first started out, and I've been just gutted because I thought what I had was a great product. I thought, like, and does this help you to understand a little bit why that happened to you? Just the conversation we've had now, let me know in the chat if it helps you to understand a little bit more why it happened to you. There's nothing wrong with you or your product, possibly. Well, there could be, but I imagine, knowing that you're all intelligent and people who know your subject or product really, really well, but it's probably more to do with just not having the audience, not being around long enough, not putting out enough content to get people to kind of know you. My first online course, I just had this idea. I plucked it from my head. Like, I thought I'd be able to sell 100. I sold 13. And I just kind of thought, well, my courses are really good, but I didn't have enough people to sell it to. Does anybody know the average online conversion rate? It's the average conversion rate for online sales. If you've worked with me or listened to my podcast, everyone knows it. It's 1-2%. So we need to, if you want to sell one to many, if you want to sell, and let me know in the chat if this is what some of you want to do. You want to sell playbooks, you want to sell online courses, you want to sell memberships, you want to sell products. Let me know if that applies to you in the chat. If you want to do one to many, which is online courses, digital products, if you want to do, yeah, Bron saying all of those, what's this telling you you've got to do if you want to be selling in big volumes? If you're doing like one-to-one coaching, fine, but you need a bigger audience. And yeah, Bron says you need a bigger audience. Not necessarily need to have a massive audience, but you need to probably have a bigger audience than you've got right now. What's this telling you, what we've talked about today, what's it telling you about the timescales that you need to think about? So let me know in the chat what this is telling you about your timescales. Yeah, so longer than you hoped. And it's, you know, it does take time. It could be years, as Paul says. And we've never finished with our audience building. And it does take patience, you know, particularly when you're selling to, you're selling high volume, you want to sell lots of things. I remember when I started out, I just thought, because people were like Amy Porterfield, or there was this guy, Jeff Walker, who had the product launch formula. I watched all their videos and I saw all what they were doing and I followed exactly what they did. But what I didn't realize was that, yes, I could do all the same things that they were doing, but I just didn't have as many people in my audience. So I wasn't going to be able to sell hundreds and hundreds of courses like Amy Porterfield, because I just didn't have as many people. It's a numbers game. It was a maths game, basically. And as soon as I clicked that, and as soon as that kind of sunk in for me, I did two things. I started to think, okay, well, I need to build a bigger audience. But I also realized it was going to take me time to do that. So is anyone feeling, let me know in the chat, is anyone feeling, anyone just starting off and thinking, oh no, like, I thought she was going to tell me that this was going to happen in like 30 days and I was going to be like really, really massive. I'm telling you to reassure you as well. So if you've tried to launch something and it hasn't done as well as you, you know, just, if there's nothing wrong with you or your product or service, it's about, you know, it's going to take time and it's going to, you know, I'm trying to be realistic with you about it. Yes, there's always exceptions and there, you know, there'll be the odd person that rocks up and they, you know, suddenly do really, really well. But normally when you look back, like Piano, that example I gave you earlier, 11 years, like, that's, they've been posting on that YouTube channel. That YouTube channel has been active for 11 years, three of which as Piano. So while it looks like, you know, they're killing it, they're selling loads of these courses, but actually there's very few real examples of overnight successes. So I'm telling you this not to make you feel bad. I'm telling you this to actually reassure you that actually you're doing okay. And you need, but you do need to be in it for the long game. You know, you'll always find the odd exception, but most people it does take time, because if this stuff was easy, no one would need to do my course. Like, no one would need to build an audience. So, you know, because it'd be easy, you'd all know how to do it already, and you'd just be. So I think at least 5 years, as Jolie says, about 5 years. But you can make, if you're consistent, you can make really big progress in 90 days and then another 90 days, another 90 days. Like, I think most people, it takes about a year to really get traction. And if you want to hit the big time, it's about 5 years at least. So if you still want to do it after that, you know, it's a lot of work and a lot of consistency, but the rewards are brilliant. So I think we've already covered that. How likely is someone to buy from you if they've just seen one of your posts? Probably not very likely. And most of us kind of learned that the hard way. I certainly did. And you've probably learned that too. So while you're building your audience, this is something that I've really grappled with, because I've never wanted to be that person who's like, oh, I'm running this Build Your Online Audience and I'm going to tell everyone that they can build a massive audience in like 2 weeks or whatever, because I just know it's not true. And I think it would be disingenuous of me to do that. But at the same time, I want you to make money, and I don't want you to be short of money while you're building your online audience. So I feel like it's my responsibility to kind of start by saying, well, let's go back to basics, and then think, well, okay, how do we make sure that you're bringing money into your business while you're doing the audience building? And the way I often talk about it is putting your fire out first. So if you spend all of your day, and excuse the phrase I'm going to use, but fannying around, posting on Instagram and not actually doing anything that's going to get you any clients, it's a terrible phrase, but it's the right phrase for it. You're not going to make any money, and you're going to give up because you haven't got any money. If you can prioritize going, okay, well, how do I make sure that I've always got clients and I've always got customers? Then that frees you up, gives you the financial freedom to be able to go, okay, well, now I can spend the afternoon on my audience building. Let me know if that kind of makes sense to you. So what we're doing here is making sure that you've got enough money coming in, you've got enough clients, and you know how to get clients and customers when you're stuck as well, and you've got resources that you can use to do that. So who's most likely to buy from you today? So let me know in the chat who is most likely to buy from you right now, today, if you're stuck for clients and customers today. So people who know you, friends and family, people who are already customers, crucially, is what Louise says, very loyal followers, but I have loyal followers who've never bought a thing from me and probably won't, so we can't really trust that. Existing clients, are upselling to existing clients, people you've already worked with. What's difficult about that, though, particularly with existing clients? So why can that be difficult, going back to existing clients and offering them new stuff? I'm not saying it's difficult for everybody, but some people find it quite tricky, I think. So somebody's already, so Shirley says the assumption is they've already got what they need. Victoria, it can feel awkward to keep pushing. Somebody has already paid you loads of money and you're like, oh, I can't ask them to pay any more. But actually they're the very people who are actually, because they already know, like, and trust you, great, like, bring it on, give me more. So that's a mindset thing I think we have to get over, actually. So this is what, I think it was Nicola was talking about this before. A lot of people, my clients, have this printed out over their desk. So we don't really have one audience that we're trying to build. We have three audiences that we're trying to build. So our hot audience, so these are the people who are most likely to buy from us right now. You just told me who they were. So they're your existing customers, your previous customers, your friends and family, the people who already know you, like you and trust you. So these are your hottest leads, the people who might buy from you today. Typically, those people might convert. They could convert today. You could send an email or a message out today and have a sale from those people today, or, you know, certainly in the next week or so. Then you've got your warm audience. So these are people who somebody mentioned before, really engaged social media followers, or, like in my case, it might be podcast listeners. So I have people who listen to my podcast for years and they really love it and they tell everybody about it, but they have never bought anything from me. Sometimes it might take them years to buy something. And then we've got our cold audience. And our cold audience are the people who don't know about us yet. They've never heard of us. They don't know who we are. They don't know what we sell. They don't know about our product or service. So looking at this, what is the mistake, do you think, that a lot of people make? And actually, it can end up, people end up giving up on their business because of it when it comes to their audience. So let me know in the chat. What do you think is the biggest mistake? And if you've done this course before, you'll know the answer. Okay, so I call it playing in the cold ring, which sounds almost as bad as fannying about. But it is that people spend so much time doing things like posting on Instagram, Facebook, blogging, podcasting, all of that stuff. And obviously, 100%, I think that stuff is great. Like, and obviously, I do it all the time. But if you spend all of your time doing that kind of stuff and you're not actually doing the hot stuff, the stuff in the middle, then what do you think is going to happen to you very shortly? So if you spend all of your day posting on Instagram, Facebook, making a podcast, writing a blog, creating content. So as Ali says, great way of putting it, you die of frostbite. Yeah, your money's going to dry up because you're trying to market to people who don't know about you. They know nothing about you. They know nothing about your products or services. Anyone know how long typically it would take somebody from not knowing about you to become a customer or client? And obviously it depends on different industries. It depends on what you're selling. There's all sorts of different factors, whether you're advertising or all that kind of thing. But how long could it take somebody to go from, yeah, so, I mean, Sam, it could be up to a year. Piano, they managed to accelerate the process with me by using Facebook advertising. But if you're not using Facebook advertising, if you've not got all the smart marketing, it could take somebody up from a year. I have people who have listened to my podcast and follow me on social media for years, and then suddenly 3 years in, they'll go, right, I think I know enough now to be a customer. So if we spend all of our time doing that stuff, which is can be fun, like I love it, it's my favorite thing to do, it's my content, and it does make you money in the long term, but in the short term, you can actually find you've got no money coming into your business whatsoever. So what does that mean in terms of your priorities, even in terms of how you organize your day, do you think? What should you be, you know, people often say, well, what should I do first? How do I plan my day? So Sam says, get money, get hot first. So always start with your hot first, even like with your day. You know, if you could spend half an hour or an hour in the morning reaching out to people who have already expressed an interest, or going back to previous clients, or having conversations with people. Why do you think, though, before we move on and we start to talk about how to do this, why do you think everybody, not everybody, but lots of people play in the cold ring and then they end up giving up on their business? Why do you think people play in the, so Sam says it's easier. Why is it easier to play in the cold ring and get frostbite? Yeah, it's not as scary because you're less likely, when you're talking to nobody, you're less likely to get somebody to tell you that you're pushy or to reject you. That's what Deborah's really, you know, really kind of nailed it there. You don't have to put yourself out there. You don't have to risk that you're going to get rejected and somebody's going to tell you that you're out of order or whatever. But at the same time, your business is going to die. You know, if you're not brave enough to actually reach out to the people who actually really want to buy from you and buy from you now. So it's a careful balance. But if you can look after this part first, if you can prioritize making sure that you're reaching out to people who actually want to buy from you and are going to buy from you like really, really soon, then the other stuff that frees you up mentally, it frees you up the time to actually get on that. And as Justine says, hot is too pushy for my business. That's a little bit, I hope you don't mind me saying, it's a little bit like this won't work for me. And what I should have said earlier is the question to ask yourself is, well, what will work for my business? So it's about how you approach it. And so personalized baby gifts, there's no problem in going back to somebody and saying, oh, do you know you got in touch with me a couple of weeks ago asking me about that thing you were going to buy? You're still interested. You know, there's nothing fishy about that. My hairdresser rang me kept in contact with me during lockdown. She rang and offered me the first appointment because I'm a most loyal customer, I think, after lockdown, gave me the choice of times. And I appreciate that. You know, I think often we feel like because we're paying somebody money that there's this kind of weird dynamic going on. But I appreciate my hairdresser like contacting me and keeping in touch with me and giving me the first appointment or whatever, because I want that service. So I think we also have to remember that people want, you know, I think it's a lot of us that look after our hair here who got the first offer. So I think there's a bit of mindset stuff we have to work through. And this is where we can support each other, because we all feel it at times. I feel like it sometimes with my clients, you know, I think, oh God, you know, I've just bought the program, they just bought an event, now I'm asking them about this. But often people are really grateful because you're coming along and you're offering something that's solved, as long as you're solving a problem for people. And as Nicola says, the worst that you'll get a no. So how do you reach out to your hot audience? So one of the things I've created for you to make it easier for you and to make it less intimidating for you is actually created some templates, which I'll share with you a little bit later. But the first step really is about prospecting and actually working out who you need to reach out to and how. So that's what we're going to talk about next. So let me know if this is making sense so far. Some of this stuff, you know, I think deep down we know all of this stuff already, but we can't be reminded of it enough because this is the stuff that kind of brings money into our business. So whenever I'm launching something new, whether it's a product or a service, and I know we've got both product and service-based businesses here, the first thing that I will do is actually sit down, and I've given you a template to do this, is actually make a list of who my hot, warm and cold leads are. So I've got a couple of examples for you. So this is for who sells coaching or consultancy packages. Let me know in the chat who sells coaching consultancy. I know not everybody does, but it's okay, it might be Power Hours or whatever. So hot, I know it's really obvious, but actually write it down. Okay, people who've previously inquired about coaching, existing clients, previous clients, they're going to be, if you've got a new coaching or consultancy package, people are going to be most likely to want to buy from you. A lot of people think that their warm like people like podcast listeners or engaged social media followers are hot, but they're not. If they haven't bought anything from you, they're not. Until they've showed you the color of their money, they're just warm. They're just engaged people that might not mind you reaching out to them. And then you've got your cold. So these are people that don't know you at all. So I just sit down and I've given you this template and I just jot down. So for my hot leads, my strategy is generally going to be much more personal, sending emails, direct messages, sending text messages, WhatsApp messages, personal messages. Why do you think personal messages, individual messages work a lot better than sending like round robin email marketing? I mean, I have always have hot lists of hundreds of people I could email at one time, but why do you think it works better and might work better for coaching and consultancy just to send a very personal? Yeah, because they're personal and people kind of feel like they should reply. I send quite a lot of voicemails. Some people send videos. It's up to you. You know, try and see what works for you. I find videos a little bit, whoa, but I know not everybody does. But voicemails can be quite nice and quite nice and personal. And the other thing is really quick. It's much quicker just to pick up your phone and send a voicemail or send a quick text to somebody, which is absolutely fine. I'm not 100% sure what you mean by personal on MailChimp, Hannah. So let me know what you mean by that. And then I just make a list of resources. So I'd actually would make a spreadsheet of the hottest leads. So for example, if I had a new coaching and consultancy package, I think, okay, well, I've got loads of people who came to my events. I've got members in my Build Your Online Audience program. I might even have a wait list for the program. And then I would just write out some text for the individual messages and some text for the text messages. And you can just cut and paste and adapt. And I've just created some content for you. When I send out personal email, does that do it very often? Because I send out a lot of mass marketing emails. And if any of you have ever had one of these from me, you know, I always say something like, this is a real message from Janet in the subject header, because otherwise people just think it's a round robin email, which is why I prefer to do things like, why I prefer to do DMs and voice messages and things like that. And I know some of this is obvious, like making a list of the resources that you need, but this kind of thing really focuses you and stops you from sort of procrastinating and not doing it. If you've got everything that you need in front of you, if you've written the text up front, if you've written the email, if you've written the text that you're going to send in your text, you're less likely to kind of chicken out of doing it. Let me know if this makes sense in the chat. While you're doing that, I'll just have a look and see if there's anything. And as Lydia says, it's important. It doesn't look like a newsletter. It's got to feel personal. And that might mean, and I'll show you some examples later on. I'm not sure about whether you're allowed to email old customers through Etsy. If anyone's on Etsy, maybe they can reply to that. Yeah, you can send a personal email. If they've already bought from you, that's legitimate interest. And you're not trying to sell them, like if they've bought coaching from you, you're not trying to sell them a fridge or something like that, as long as it's, it's kind of linked and genuine. So let me know if that kind of makes sense for your coaching or consultancy package. I do exactly the same, actually, even though I sell a product with a media diary. So when I'm launching the media diary, I make a list of who bought last year's planner. So the hot leads are people who bought last year's, because they're much more likely to buy it again. So previous clients and customers, current customers. I might also have some wait lists knocking around. So during the year, when the media diary sells out, we change it over to a wait list. So we're collecting email addresses all year for people who have missed out on the diaries. We've got those as well. Warm leads are going to be podcast listeners again, social media followers, the people who maybe haven't bought it before, but they know me and they know my brand. And again, just go through and think about what the strategies could be. So with the media diary, creating a wait list and getting that going early. What we're going to do this year is create an affiliate VIP scheme, and we're going to invite people to apply to be an affiliate for the media diary. But we're going to kind of, you know, sort of formalize that a little bit. So that means that we can sort of do a sort of pre-launch. I always do about three different launches for products. I've got my email list, hot leads. I've got inquiries, emails saved over the year from people who've asked about diaries. And then you can text message, you know, you can email people individually about products. There's nothing wrong with doing that. You can send people texts, you know, you can phone them. I mean, that's another thing. Who picks up the phone and phones people ever? That's something a lot of people don't do. So it kind of makes you stand out. So Layla does it. And actually, I think it can be really, really different, actually, because a lot of people don't get very many telephone messages. And some people do actually quite like talking on the phone. They prefer talking on the phone. When I was a journalist, I used to talk on the phone all the time. And if I ever really want to get something done quickly, I'll always just pick up the phone, because I knew that it was the easiest way to get what you needed or to get the response that you needed. So even if you're selling products, there's no reason why you can't just make a list. You know, if you're really kind of stuck and think, you know what, my sales have really gone down, go back through your Instagram DMs and see who sent an inquiry but didn't actually buy. Go back through your email inquiries. Go through your Facebook page and just make a list and just go back to them and just say, I noticed that you were checking this out, or I noticed you were going to buy, you asked me a question about this, but you didn't put your order in or whatever. So Finn said she did it all through prom season, and they generally get back to you if they want the dress. Exactly. And, you know, it's a numbers game. So if you go to 10 people and follow up with them and just say, oh, you know, you made the inquiry about a prom dress, you know, are you still interested? You know, there's a good chance one or two of them will say yes. You know, so it's a numbers game. So it's just about kind of, you know, putting in the work. So I would then generally go through and do the same thing for the warm and the cold. And you can see it's quite different strategies. So you're using much more high touch strategies for people that are already in your circle. So DMs, messages, phone calls, whatever. And I'll give you some texts that you can use for that. And as Finn makes, it's a really good point is that go for the no. Like, isn't it better just to have a no from somebody than not know whether they're interested or not? And a lot of the time, I mean, I'm as guilty of this. I don't know if anybody else is guilty of this, is that I'm just busy. Like, I do want to buy the thing, or I do want to book in the consultation of, you know, like I was partway through the process of buying an Irish dance dress for my daughter before lockdown. And I do want to book in the session. I do want to put my deposit down or whatever, but I'm just a bit busy because I've got loads of stuff going on. And actually, a lot of the time people appreciate you just kind of reminding them. Nicola was saying for the conference last year, people often just really appreciate the final reminder, and they don't, you know, they're just busy. They've got loads of stuff going on apart from you, and they're just happy that you've let them know. And even if they say to you, actually, I'm not interested. I don't feel the slightest bit offended. I don't know about you, but if Victoria says her dog trainer chases her all the time. Yeah. And those of you who, even things like hairdressing, like my hairdresser, if she hasn't seen me for a while, she send me a text and say, are you okay? I haven't seen you for a while. And inevitably I'll book something in. You know, so it's just about reminding people that you're still around. Even being a baker, yeah. So one of the things you can do as a baker, I'm guessing it is cakes that you do, Kathleen, off the top of my head, isn't it? But, you know, simple thing you can do is when you do an order for somebody, see if you can find out when there are other things going on in the family, like anniversaries or birthdays or whatever, make a note of them all. Do you remember you told me that it was your parents' 50th wedding anniversary? Just wondered if you might want to make a cake. So it's about thinking about what could be those opportunities. So I've provided one of these for you. I know a lot of my clients still use this. They just use this template. So when they've got something, a new product or service, or they just want to kind of get, you know, just want to bring some money into the business, they just go through this process and they just kind of, you know, list out their hottest leads, their warmest leads and their coldest leads. And that way you can make sure that you're spending the majority of your time, that things are actually going to bring in business and money for you, like today or this week, and you're not playing in the cold ring. So let me know if this makes sense so far, and whether this feels comfortable, whether this feels like something that you could do. Some of you, I think, are already doing some of this stuff, which is great. And there might just be a few things that you pick up on. And Finn's made a really good point about focusing on asking customers to recommend you as well. You know, that's a really good way of getting work as well and getting leads. Okay, so I'm going to be sharing with you some basically cut and paste copy that you can use for different scenarios. And just to reassure you that it works, so this is Blair, who I was talking about before. So Blair is in the membership. She's like a leadership coach and speaker. And she took some of these swipe files I'm going to share with you, and they're in your workbook. And she just dedicated some time, a couple of mornings, I think, to sending out some emails. And she generated £42,000 worth of business from it. Now, granted, her coaching tends to be kind of higher ticket, so this is all relative. But we've also had, I don't know if Josephine's on the call today, and John, there are a couple of people off the top of my head, and Nicola's just added, I can't remember, she said it was 15 or 16,000. I need to get that on my slides. But they're two people that off the top of my head just did a little bit of outreach and made, you know, minimum of £500 just from following some of these swipe files. So it's something that if you find that you suddenly, you know, don't have enough money coming into your business, you don't have enough clients, or you're worried about your pipeline, just dedicating 2 or 3 hours, just a morning to doing this. You know, in Blair's case, you know, it's massive. Sorry, my slides have gone a bit wonky. In Blair's case, it was absolutely massive. But, you know, it could just be, depending on you know, what your business income is, then it might be a smaller amount, but it's all, you know, leads and it's all income coming into your business. So that's them. So I'm going to go through some of the scenarios with me. So let me know in the chat if you're following along so far. Does this make sense? Does this feel like stuff that you could do? I know from some of the things that you're saying in the chat, you're doing it already. Has anybody picked up anything that they're not doing already? Let me know if it's given you any ideas about things that you're not doing already. One thing I should say about what Blair found is that she stayed a little bit close, in her own words, she stayed a little bit close to some of my copy instead of, and she said she should have adapted a little bit more than she did. And she had a couple of conversations with people where they said, oh, Blair, this isn't like you. So it's really important that you take this and you don't just kind of cut and paste it. You kind of personalize it and try and use it yourself.
So I hope you found that useful. And if you'd like to get your hands on some of the swipe files and templates that I mentioned in this episode, then come and join me inside the Build Your Online Audience program. I would love to not only help you to improve the financial health of your business like right now, but also help you to lay those foundations and to build your online audience so that you can launch your successful membership or online course further down the road. So as ever, I do love hearing from you. If you've got any questions about what you've heard on this podcast, just drop us a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk. And if you're ready to come and join us inside the program, then just head over to janetmurray.co.uk/build your online audience. So it's janetmurray.co.uk/build your online audience.
If you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, do check out her Build Your Online Audience program over at buildyouronlineaudience.com. The Build Your Online Audience program is the essential resource for anyone looking to build an engaged online following. If you want to attract more leads online so you can stop wondering where your next sale is coming from, or if you want to launch a dream project like an online course, book, or podcast, the Build Your Online Audience program has everything you need to grow an engaged online following. Head over to buildyouronlineaudience.com to find out more.